Thankful that you're here, on especially as a day and a big snow is coming and we're going to experience that Ohio winter. Cassidy's still adjusting to that Ohio winter, but she's going to be well initiated in today. but just thankful that you're here, and we'll be mindful of the time to make sure everyone gets home safely today. We kick off a season today, a season of prayer and of discernment. And you might be thinking, why do a series like this that's just focused on prayer? One, we did a series on prayer about 2 years ago in the fall. And you think, we've already studied the topic of prayer. But what I have found in my life, and I'm sure you've experienced as well, prayer is one of those things that we've just got to keep coming back to over and over again. There needs to be regular rhythms where we come and talk about. What does it look like to pray? In fact, Jesus' disciples, they came to him. They were with him in his life, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. As disciples of Jesus, it's core to who we are. And throughout the year, we have so many things that set our rhythms. Your year is probably set, has a rhythm of that's based on your work or your family life. If you're a family and you have kids in sports or band or other extracurricular activities, my guess is that your schedule and your rhythms are set based on football season, basketball season, baseball season. Or maybe if you're a sports fan, it's based on, the football season, the college sports season. Or maybe it's spring training and leading into the MLB season. We have all these things that kind of create a backdrop and a theme for your year. And I don't know about you, but I know I experience this as I go throughout the year. Like, each season has its own feeling and kind of how I feel and where I'm at and what I'm doing and what I'm working towards in the future. It's based on whatever's going on at that moment. We naturally have that. The weather forces rhythms upon us, whether it's fall, winter, a snowy season like this, spring, or summer. Each one of those seasons kind of has its own, at least it does for me, its own feel to it, and can create my habits and what I'm doing around that time. I'm a runner. I like to run, and I can tell you this, weather like this, I'm not running a lot during those times, but when the weather gets nice, I do a lot more. But what I love about this time of year, and I know a lot of people don't like this because of the bad reputation that resolutions have with the new year. But I love to use the new year just to think, what's coming? What's going to be happening in my life? What are some things I want to work towards this year? Now, I don't set any big resolutions that I know I'm apt to fail on, but I just think about the year. It's a great time. You can choose other times a year to start that cycle, and maybe it's not even a year. Maybe you think about it in smaller seasons than that. What do I want to accomplish this winter? And so this season of 21 days of prayer, just it creates a rhythm. It creates a rhythm to come back to. I try to focus in at the beginning of each year and have a season like this, whether it's formal or informal. And that's the goal for this series and what we're trying to do as a church, is as we start a new year, how do we pray in 2025? How do we welcome 2025 in with prayer and discernment? And so you might ask, why do a series like this? And one of the reasons is just that. Maybe you're full of hope. You're ready for the new year. You've got exciting things happening. You want to start off in prayer. Maybe you're here, and as Clint talked about this morning, maybe you're going through a difficult season, difficult struggles. Many in this church over the last several weeks have dealt with some hardships, have dealt with some devastating losses. I've gone through some pain and some hurt. And so maybe for you, this season is just a time to be with God, set a little extra time to just be in his presence as you grieve or as you heal from whatever struggle you might have been enduring in 2024 or even the last couple of days or weeks. Or maybe for you, you've been in a season of apathy or indifference and you just kind of plateaued spiritually. And you think, I don't feel like I'm detracting. I'm not getting worse as a disciple of Jesus, but I don't feel like I'm growing. I've gone through this season of apathy, and maybe the wheels just keep turning and time moves on, and you feel like I've not made much progress, then this season is for you to take a moment and recharge from the culture of hurry and the culture of burnout that we all live in, and we're susceptible to those things. And so maybe for you, this is a season of recharging. Or maybe you've got some difficult decisions to make in 2025, whether it be to stay with your job or some difficult family situations you're enduring, or something to do with your future plans in terms of your education, or wanting to grow in as maybe a disciple maker. Whatever those things might be, maybe this season for you is a season of prayer and discernment to make some decisions and to make some choices, make some changes. We're all going to come to the season and the series with a different background, but I encourage you to participate. And we try to make it as easy as possible for you to participate. And there's some things just we know as a church, some changes that are happening. We're welcoming in Noah and Avery Jordan this year, and we're so excited about that. And with that, Nick's transitioning to work more hands-on with our young families and young adult ministries. And just a lot of transitions going on. And we want to usher this year in light of those things with prayer as well. And so what we've tried to do is provide some resources. One is to create a topic each day for us to pray for. And you'll see out in the foyer, there's little handouts that give you the daily topic. It gives you the date and the day. And so for example, I'll show you. Right, today is on personal spiritual direction, is what we're going to be praying for. And the way we've broken this down is that there's a theme for each week. This week is basically, this is the theme. And then when we get to next Sunday, we'll focus in and pray about Northeast, pray about the church, the direction that we're going in as a church. And if you skipped Sunday, January 19th, which will be the last sermon of this series, that starts a new week of prayer, and specifically focusing on our efforts as a church, as we are disciple makers, and as we reach out to the community around us. And so that's sort of the theme and how we've broken down these 21 days of prayer. And I encourage you, if you're interested, we have put out a digital guide to help you even more than this is sort of a summation of everything. But if you want to go a step further and you want a sort of a small digital handbook to follow as you go through these 21 days of prayer, you can find that online, whether that be through the Northeast News, there's a link there. There's also a link in the bulletin. But then also, you can go to northeastchurch.com/21days, and you'll find that digital book there, the video that was played for us just a moment ago, and maybe a little bit more information. But if you want to really make it, we're trying to make this as easy as possible, really want to make it easy, you've got the QR code in front of you. You can scan that QR code and click on Next Steps, and you'll find a link to that landing page, and you'll find the guide there. And so I encourage you to step into that. There's some practices for you to participate in that, some instructions for how to get the most out of that digital book, and even some exercises that we'll talk about towards the end of this. But this morning, as we start off this series, I want to think about this idea of personal spiritual direction. What do we even mean by that? And what I mean by that is you pray in this year, and you usher it in, welcome it in with prayer. Think about where am I going? What direction am I moving in? I've said before, a quote by Andy Stanley, is that that your destination is not determined by intentions. Your destination is determined by direction. Destination is determined by direction, not intentions. And so ask yourself this question this morning. As you think about these things, and you think about the next 21 days, say, what direction am I moving in? Where am I currently standing in my faith, or where am I seated? And where do I want to go? Now, what I don't encourage you to do is try to take control of your spiritual growth and say, here's the direction I'm going, here's how I'm going to get there. But instead, commit yourself to God and ask what God's doing in your life and ask him and discern where he's leading you. Now that might come with some, here's some practices I'm going to commit to this year and some things I want to grow, some areas you want to grow in. But ultimately it's about positioning ourselves in God's grace and in his presence. We're going to talk about that a bit this morning. So as we start this series, today I want to talk about the way of Jesus. And if you'll remember, our entire life group season and our fall series was on the way of Jesus. And the definition of the way of Jesus, the working definition that we used this past fall, was that the way of Jesus includes the teachings, the values, the practices, and the actions of Jesus. And his way constitutes a different way of being human, a different way of interacting with the world, and a different way of existing, a different way of thinking, a different way of acting. And that's embodied by Jesus' life. And what's interesting about the teachings of Jesus, as we think about the teachings of Jesus, when we think about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those first four books of your New Testament, when you look at those are biographies. And so what we have of the way of Jesus, Jesus' teachings, it's so interesting that you don't have like John Calvin, this is a random thought, but John Calvin, he wrote an entire series called The Institutes of Religion. And through it, he mapped out all of his thoughts on theology and practices and what he believes about God, what he believes about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the church, salvation, and the spiritual life. And he maps it out. We call that a systematic theology. It systematically goes through religious teachings and what he, in particular, believed about those things. And what's interesting is that we don't have Jesus' systematic theology from his life. And you would expect to find those in the Gospels. Now, okay, you can say, okay, the Bible is Jesus' systematic theology. But what my point is while we have the Sermon on the Mount, we don't have Jesus going from A to Z answering every topic that you could ever imagine. And in fact, half of the Gospels are not what you would call, quote unquote, teaching. Now, they are teaching because we learn from them. But what you don't see is that, or what you see recorded in the biography of Jesus, the biographies, the Gospels, is that we get snapshots of his life. We get a look into what did a day look like for Jesus of Nazareth as he went about preaching the word, he went about teaching and interacting, healing others, right? We get snapshots into his day, not just his teaching and his thoughts, but into his practices. And when we talk about the way of Jesus, it's encompassed by all of that. By the teachings of Jesus, but his way of life. Snapshots into his life. And what's amazing about that is when you decide to follow Jesus, you're not just saying, I believe X, Y, and Z. You are saying that, but you're saying more than that. When you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a disciple of Jesus, you're saying, I've taken a step closer to God, and I'm trying to do life with Jesus. I'm trying to step into his life, his way of being, yes, by following his teachings, but also by committing yourself to his practices, his values, and his actions. And Jesus invites us into his way. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus gives this invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isn't that an interesting invitation? When you think about partnering with God, I believe that that's God's purpose for humanity, is to be in relationship and to be in partnership with him, to bring about his goodness on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's our purpose, is to bring his will on earth as it is in heaven until he returns and sets all things right. But isn't it interesting that Jesus' invitation isn't come all who are willing and commit yourself to a rigorous life of nonstop work, nonstop accomplishment for the kingdom of God. Not that God doesn't want us to accomplish things, and not that he doesn't want to accomplish things through us, but isn't it interesting that this invitation of Jesus here in Matthew 11, it sounds so counterintuitive. Instead, come all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, I know for a fact there's people in this room to whom this invitation appeals to. That you're weary, you're burdened, whether it's because you're grieving a loss, many in our church are grieving a loss this morning, or whether it's you're just burnt out. You've gone nonstop in 2024 and you ran yourself rugged and you're just tired, burnt out, plateaued in your spiritual growth. And the thought of adding another practice to your routine sounds exhausting. And this invitation appeals to you. Jesus continues on. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So interesting. A yoke, which is was used for binding together animals, a harness to so they could carry more weight. In our American sense, we think, we can be more productive. But what's interesting about this, and not that God doesn't want us to be productive, he does, but notice here, is that this yoke of Jesus and what it means to be a disciple, that we're taking on his yoke, his harness, his way of being, is that ultimately, yes, at least we're going to be productive as we produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life and as we lead others to Jesus. But ultimately, this yoke leads to true rest. Now, of course, how we define rest might be different. Then it's not just taking a nap. It's not just taking a vacation. It's not just getting away. Although those things can be really important for our spiritual life. But it's taking on the yoke of Christ, doing life in him according to his way. And what Jesus tells us is when you do that, you take on that yoke, you're going to find what you're looking for. You're going to find rest. You're going to find contentment. You're going to find satisfaction. Now, maybe we never get there in a perfect sense in this life, but that's something we keep moving towards, working towards, and seeking in the presence of God as we seek and search for him. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we think about the yoke of Jesus or the way of Jesus, as I've already pointed out, it's not just a system of teachings or a system of beliefs. It is that, but it's more than that. It includes his practices, his actions, his values, how he would deal with a particular situation according to the principles that he taught. And so this morning, I want us to think about this idea, not just accepting the way of Jesus as truth, but practicing the way of Jesus. And what does that look like? Jesus' invitation to come, all who are weary and tired, burnt out. And Jesus also has this invitation in John 15 and verse 5. He says, I am the way, or I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, a couple things as we look at this passage in the context of what we've already said. First of all, what Jesus is doing here is that he's telling his disciples, and his disciples know at this point, this is in John chapter 15, this is part of Jesus' departing discourse in John 14 through 16. Before he knows he's about to go to trial. He's given his last speech, his last talks to his disciples. And we're going to snapshot into that moment in his life as he's about to depart. And so they know he's leaving at this point. He's already told them in John 14, if I go to prepare a place, I do it so you may be, that you may be there also. And that we might be together. And so the point is, they know he's about to depart. Yet he says, you've got to remain in me. And what does that look like? It looks like Jesus inviting us in through modeling to us what life with God looks like. Which, by the way, oftentimes the idea of life with God is defined as prayer. And that prayer can be an umbrella term for life with God, not just our communication with God, but us seeking God in every way. It's often been talked about in those sort of umbrella terms. And so Jesus invites us in to this life of prayer, another way to say it, a life of fellowship and union with him. When we take on his yoke, the way of Jesus, his teaching, his practices, his actions, his values, and we strive to live them out. Now, this is not for the, now, don't misunderstand Jesus. He doesn't say that you can be, when he says bear much fruit, he's not saying be productive in the American sense that we mean be productive, or in the modern industrial age, what we mean by being productive. It means by like every hours we need to make X number of, by for every hour lived or every day lived or year lived, we need to make X number of accomplishments for Jesus. He does want us, as we've said already, he wants us to accomplish things for him. He wants to accomplish things in us and for us and through us. But what Jesus is talking about here is spiritual fruit. Those type of fruits and qualities that we read about in Galatians chapter 5, called the fruits of the Spirit. Which, of course, that also includes some pruning and some taking away some of the works of the flesh and some of the things mentioned there in Galatians 5. And we do that through repentance and confession in Christ, as we strive to make more room and to position ourselves and be forgiven by Christ, that we might bear more fruit, to become more loving, more kind, more gentle, more self-controlled, more patient. And if we remain in him, he says, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, we're going to continue to experience spiritual plateaus. Apart from Christ, we're going to despair in our griefs. Apart from Christ, there really isn't anything to be hopeful about tomorrow other than what you can hope for in a natural short lifetime. But in Christ, there is hope. And it's found by doing life with him, by taking on his yoke and remaining, or like the popular song sung, abide in me. Abiding in Christ. Some of your translations will say that. Abiding in him, remaining in him, doing life with him. And so what's that look like? Just like we want to know what Jesus said so we understand what we ought to do in certain situations, part of doing life with Christ by faith right now in 2025 is to not just look at what he taught, but to look at what he did. And when we look at the life of Christ, which makes up, and his actions, his behaviors, his daily practices, it makes up half of the Gospels, where it's just little snapshots into his mornings, little snapshots into him staying up all night in a prayer, little snapshots into him taking time with his disciples to share a meal around a table. And that's not just for information for us to historically know, but it's intended to teach us, just like the Sermon on the Mount, to teach us what life with God looks like, right? The way of Jesus is the values and teachings, yes, but it's also the practices and the actions of Jesus, and we find that in the Gospels. And then everything else in the New Testament and the Old Testament is either pointing towards the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, or it's pointing back to those things and interpreting them. And so what does life with Christ then look like? What does it look like to abide in Christ? Yes, it means to affirm his teachings and to be distinctive by living out his teachings and changing the way that we live, even if that's painful and hurtful and it's going to mess things up. It means, yeah, adapting our life to the way of Jesus in terms of our behaviors and our choices, our morals. But it also means taking on the daily practices of Jesus as a yoke, not as some sort of legalistic endeavor to earn our way and to be closer to God, but instead to just sit with Jesus. It's in these moments, what we call the spiritual disciplines, that word's not specifically in Scripture, but historically what it talks about those things, those practices, as Don Whitney defines as spiritual disciplines, are practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Another way to define that would be spiritual disciplines put us, by faith, at the feet of Jesus. We feel that more times, or we feel that at some times more than others, But by faith, we know when I'm coming before Scripture with a sincere heart, I'm going to God in prayer with a sincere heart, I'm devoting myself to a day of fasting, even though it doesn't seem like it makes that much sense to not eat food for a day or to remove something else from your life. By faith, I know, because what I'm taught in Scripture and by Jesus himself, that it's at those moments I'm taking a step in at his feet. And we're told if we do so consistently over a lifetime, we will find rest. So what's that look like? What's it look like to commit ourselves to spiritual disciplines? And so this morning, as we talk about practicing the way, we've talked about this before, but as we start this series, we wanted to make that even easier for you as you start 2025 and even more simple, is the practical step for this morning. If you want to take a next step in your relationship with Christ, to have some sort of a routine for coming before Christ. You don't need anything on paper to do this. You can just commit yourself to prayer, fasting, reading Scripture, living in community, all these different types of spiritual disciplines. But we printed up a short form. It's called a rule of life. And these are common in terms of creating a routine for your spiritual life. A rule of life is simply, it's just the word rule just means regula. A rule, you have a rule of faith in the New Testament and in the early church, but which would say here are the standard beliefs that we ought to have as disciples of Jesus, but then a rule of life became, here's standard of practices. If I want to find life in Christ, here's these practices I want to commit myself to intentionally come to the feet of Jesus. A rule of life is an intentional routine for spending time with God. And it doesn't have to look like what we printed up and put in the foyer for you. It can look a number of ways. It can be incredibly simple. But we wanted to put this out for you to give you an additional resource to go through these 21 days of prayer and take simple, easy steps into the presence of Christ and in his way and under his yoke through spiritual disciplines. And all of these spiritual disciplines you see up on the screen and you'll find on the paper out in the foyer, each one of these are things that we saw in the life of Jesus. And this is not exhaustive, by the way. Maybe you will add some others that we did not have room for or didn't make room for on the sheet of paper. The point is that we're taking simple steps into the presence of Christ through practices that Scripture teaches us and Christ teaches through the Scriptures lead us into the presence of God. And so as you look at those, when you're kind of this is a very basic format. You know, if you Google rule of life, you can find different formats for how to make a rule of life. But on this one, it's just simple. Here you have your spiritual practices, whether it be Scripture reading or meditation, or maybe it's even Scripture memorization, prayer, fasting, family, health, community, generosity, service, hospitality. Maybe you can come up with some things to add to that list, but this will get you started. And so some general categories that people have found helpful over the years to create routines around in order to seek God. I know many of you already have those routines, but maybe you've struggled to create routines. This is a resource to help you do that, or at least get you started. And maybe you think 2025 is a bit daunting to think about a whole year. Just select a couple months to commit to a rule of life, or just do it for 21 days as we go through these 21 days of prayer. But here's what it might look like. If you were to fill this out, I wanted to give you an example. Say under Scripture, you say daily, I want to read a passage and reflect for 15 minutes. Yearly, I want to read a book on theology, like the Institute's book we talked about. That one's a big. I'd start with something a bit smaller. But maybe for prayer, you say, I want to pray 3 times per day. And then every week, I want to take some time and go on a prayer walk where I just walk in nature and pray to God and go to him. Maybe it's fasting. Maybe weekly you want to fast 1 day a week or so many times a month. You want to set a routine for that. For family, it's daily I'm going to check in and pray, or we're going to have dinner together around a table 3 times a week. Monthly, maybe we have a family outing, or yearly we take some sort of retreat all together or vacation. Health, you might even set daily exercise or yearly physical. Community, I'm going to daily text other brothers and sisters, or weekly attend church gatherings, or get a coffee with a mentor. And on down the list you can kind of see. And I fill those out as, I'm not asking you to take a snapshot, we're going to do all these together, but to give you an example of what it might look like for you to fill one of these out and encourage you to do so. But here's my encouragement to you, is this is just a resource. It's not a measure on whether or not you're close with God or whether or not you're spiritually healthy. It's just a resource to help you if you've had trouble setting up routines or you want to try something new in terms of creating routines of spiritual disciplines. But here's the point. Whatever it is, even if you're just going to say, I'm going to read a scripture a day in 2025, just start small, be consistent, and remember, the spiritual journey and the way of Jesus is not a lonely and individual endeavor. We are doing this together. We're doing this together. And each day as you pray, even though we're not going to be gathered together every day, remember there's other brothers and sisters who are praying with you, probably praying for you, and we're praying together. And the life of prayer, a life of spiritual growth with God, as many of us know, and I've experienced in my young life, that this is not something, we're not going to experience crazy amounts of growth in one time, but instead it's a lot like planting a garden. As you put the seed in, you water it, take care of it. If you look at it day by day, you're not going to see just a ton of change. You're not going to see some of the things you're hoping for, longing for. But if you commit to watering that seed, taking care of it, prepping the soil, taking care of the soil, taking care of the plant, making sure it doesn't get, you prune it, you make sure it doesn't get too hot, whatever, all the things you might do to take care of a seedling. And then there comes a time, before you know it, you look up and it's time to reap a harvest. And you see all the fruit or the vegetables that you've grown or the plant, the beauty of the plant that you've tended to. That's what the spiritual life looks like. That's what life with Christ looks like. Is progress, we're able to see progress over time through seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And what we learn from the Gospels is that the way that we see Jesus living his life is yes, teaching, yes, healing and helping others, just making disciples, but we also see him consistently coming back to these basic spiritual disciplines, finding life in them, and even finding rest. And that same thing is offered to you. Now, in just a moment, we're going to offer an invitation. But if you will, as we start these 21 days, let's start with a prayer. And we're going to pray for each one of us as we think about our own personal spiritual direction and where we're moving as individuals. And then next week, we're going to transition and think about us as a congregation, a collection of individuals. So let's pray and pray in this 21 days. Our Father, we come before you at the feet of Jesus, as disciples who have committed ourselves to following him. And Father, we pray that you would shape and form us as we come to Jesus' feet to be the people and disciples you would have us to be. And that ultimately you would shape and form us day by day, week after week, year after year, to be more like him. To exhibit fruit of kindness, gentleness, self-control, and goodness. And pray that you would form those things into us, even if it's a slow process and hard to measure. We trust that as we commit ourselves to you, to daily coming to the feet of Jesus and regularly coming to his feet, that we'll find rest and produce much fruit. Father, be with us as individuals, as we think about these 21 days and what we want to do during these times and how we want to go about setting time with you. We pray that you would grow us through this process and help us, whether it's to reset, to recharge, or to reorient ourselves in the right direction. Father, we pray for all those in this room who are coming to these 21 days at a different place with different things going on in their life, different losses, different experiences, different hopes. But help us all be united around the hope that we have in Christ and Christ alone. And Father, we're thankful for the gift of your Son and the presence of your Spirit within us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.